Welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are in a series titled, Heaven, What Will Our Future Be Like? If you'd like more information about North Valley Church or our sermon podcasts, you can find us on our website, nvcmd.org.
Summer, look at it, it's a nice day outside. Everyone's a little, yay, it's nice. It's not sleeting like it was on Friday. As we get into pretty weather, summertime, we start making vacation plans, right? Thinking of places that we want to go. And, you know, a lot of our lives are centered around the school calendar. So summer, weather's nice, kids are out of school, and we start making plans to be able to do vacation-y things. When we start thinking about vacation-y things, we usually do a little research. Right now, I'm the old guy, so there with the gray hairs, but there was a season when to do vacation planning, you needed brochures. All right, can I get an amen? Okay, now we just get on Google, and it kind of spoils the whole paperwork brochure thing. However, if you wanted to do planning, you would do brochures. So, again, I'm old, but there was a handful of years ago when Mary Mitchell and Millie and I were planning to hike the CNO Canal. We were going to go up to Cumberland, not all at one time, but we were going to segmentize it. We're going to start in Cumberland. Millie's got a friend in Cumberland. We were going to stay with them and walk, you know, hike down a section, and then, you know, work out the car thing so we get our cars to come home and take a bunch of weekends and do the CNO Canal. So to do that, right, you would want a map of the CNO Canal, where the stops are, right? Brochure to do vacation planning. Look, more national park stuff. Park planner, what is it you can find on the parks that you go to? More recommendations about there's places you can hike. Here's places with bathrooms. Here's places you can do these. There's places you can camp. This is where the potties are, right? Important stuff when you're hiking. Right. Oh, look, here's a list of the towns that are centered around doing business along the CNO Canal so that hikers can get off and go grab a bite to eat or a refreshment and then get back on the path, or maybe a good place to park your car, do your segment hike, and do that. Planners. We get brochures and we do vacation planning. So if any of y'all are like, wow, I never thought about the CNO Canal, you're welcome to come check out my planners. So if you need them, I've got Appalachian Trail books too. When we think about places that we're going, we like having brochures. We do a little research and we make some plans so that we know what to expect. Sometimes we even drill down in events that we're going to do and things we want to see. So I want you to think that this morning we are stepping into our sermon series about heaven, right? As I understand the Bible, everyone who's a follower of Jesus Christ, that's a place we're going to be going. And so today, we're going to take a look at the travel brochure for heaven, right? My travel brochure might look like this, right? What does the Bible tell us about heaven? You can get on and Google heaven. However, I'm not sure I would trust, just like everything else on Google, you can't trust everything you read on the internet. But God took some time to give us some information about what heaven is going to be like. And so when we get there, I just want to take this morning, the series subtitle is, What Will Our Future Be? So let's just take a moment and put our arms around what are some things we know about heaven when we get there. So I'm going to pick it up. There was a prophet in the Old Testament named Isaiah. Isaiah had a vision from God, and we are going to step into just the first part of Isaiah's description about this stuff that he saw. In the year that King Uzziah died, he's just given us a time reference. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, which is a kind of angel, each with six wings, with two wings that covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. So just a quick glimpse. There are other descriptions about what's going on in God's throne room. This is like a Dorothy moment. We are not in Kansas anymore. Right? The angel here with six wings, there's description of angels with eyes all over their wings, descriptions with angels who have multiple faces to look at. It's unusual. It is not going to be a replication of Earth, right? You see some movies sometimes that people, you know, they die and then they portray heaven as though they're not sure what's going on. No, when you get to heaven, it's going to be different. You are going to know it because it's not going to look like this place looks. So for some of us, we just need to plan for the unexpected. We'll talk about more of that in a second. Continuing in this passage with Isaiah, they were calling out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah's vision is in the throne room of God. And what is happening, right? We've seen a picture of some of the beings that were there. What is happening? They are worshiping God in his throne room. So I'm going to talk about worship for a moment. That is one of the things that is going on in heaven, in and around God's throne room. They are worshiping God. And for myself, and I know I'm not the only one, sometimes when we're worshiping, maybe by ourselves or maybe in a corporate setting, we start to get in step with what's going on in the throne room of God. They're worshiping God. And we're worshiping God. And I think there's moments when we're doing that the veil between here and heaven starts to get a little thin. It gets pulled back a little bit. And we start to really experience God's presence and God's glory. And it carries us to what feels like a different place. And I think that happens for some of us. I know that it has happened for me. That when we get to worshiping and our heart and our mind and our spirit are all in the right place, we're in step with what's going on in the throne room of God, in heaven. And that veil starts to get thin. Anyone else besides me, do I need counseling or am I the only one who's ever? Okay, a handful of folks. Okay, good. I wasn't going to go get counseling anyway. For those of you who've been tracking any of that, I am not in counseling anymore. I ended that a month or two ago. So heaven is a place of worship. Heaven is also a place of warfare, right? We like to think of this is fun, this is good stuff with what's going on in heaven. However, it's not always good stuff. In the Old Testament, there was the prophet Isaiah, but there's also other prophets. Daniel was one of those prophets as well. Hang on a second. Do we have the wrong slides? Oh, okay. Okay, I'm good. are we working on getting better slides? Okay. I'm just going to sip some water. If y'all need to go to the bathroom, get some coffee. There's probably some oatmeal pies still. Do 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 do. Heaven is, thank you. Heaven is also a place of warfare. We like to think of, heaven, it'll be wonderful, it'll be great. It can also be a dangerous place. There was a prophet named Daniel from the Old Testament. He's got a book with his name on it, Daniel. Daniel had dreams and visions and interpreted other people's dreams. That's just the gift that God had given him. And Daniel had a vision about a war, this battle, this war that was going to go on, and it troubled him. He didn't know what it meant, but he knew that it was a vision about war. So Daniel decided to pray and ask, "Hey, God, can you interpret this for me, please?" And he went on a three-week fast. I want you to catch that, three-week fast. And he was fasting, and he was sad because he knew this was not going to be a fun thing, this vision he had of war. Eventually, at the end of 3 weeks, an angel shows up. We think an angel shows up. Could have been Jesus. Some people go back and forth. I won't, if you're into figuring things out and you want to read up on that, go for it. But a heavenly being shows up and answers Daniel's prayer after 3 weeks, after he prayed it. Everybody got that? Just say, "Yeah, Dan." The angel says to Daniel, "Your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia." So I want you to catch what's going on there. When Daniel prayed the prayer to start with, God sent a messenger to deliver the answer. But he was detained by other evil-oriented angels. There's a battle going on around us, whether we're aware of it or not. I want you to think about when you pray and ask God for some help or for an answer to something, I want you to think about it. It's not just, "Oh, and then God said this, and then God did that." If there is spiritual realm stuff that has to happen, there's probably some battle and warfare going on to get that thing to happen. The spiritual realm is not always a nice place. We like to think of the, "Oh, it'll be wonderful, great." It's dangerous. It's a tough place. We don't seem to talk about it much anymore. Maybe that's because I don't pay attention, or maybe we just all, a bunch of people accepted it and thought it was good. But for a season, there was a big deal about transcendental meditation, where you would just go into a zone, look inside yourself, and meditate. And the goal of this meditation was to lower your consciousness so that your mind and your spirit could flow free and go wherever it is. So now, we are Christians. We are not ignorant of what the spiritual realm is and what goes on. What do you think the wisdom is in just lowering your will and letting whatever spiritual being wants to say something to you? Not a great idea. It is not a good idea. I am a big fan of meditation, but we can't disconnect ourselves. We need to stay present while we're meditating. I think when I meditate, I tend to grab a passage of scripture or a verse that is oriented about who God is and what he wants for me, or who I am and what the Bible says about that. And I tend to make that a focus of my meditation. But I don't want you all to be naive. The spiritual realm isn't all fun and games. It can be a very dangerous place. If you've hung around churches and listened to verses and people preaching, you've probably heard about this thing called the armor of God. And we put on our armor of God. It's out of Ephesians 6. And we get all excited about the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. And we get all excited about that. However, God did not give us that armor to deal with our boss at work. God did not give us that armor so that we can be a better person in our neighborhood. This verse happens before the description of the armor of God in Ephesians 6:12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. God's given us his armor for spiritual warfare. We are meant to be not ignorant of it. We are meant to be warriors fighting in that battle. And we do that putting on the armor of God. If you're like, what is that? That sounds cool. Circle that verse and start at verse 12 and then keep reading. And you will get more detail about what the armor of God is. But today, I just need us, right? We're reading the travel brochure. There are some really cool places in heaven. It's not all cool. Some of it's dangerous. And I'm not saying we don't want to go there, but we don't want to go there naive. We don't want to go there unprepared. We need to know the spiritual realm is fun stuff. It's also dangerous stuff. Heaven is also a place of celebration. Jesus is talking in the book of Luke. In the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. I want you to think about that. When somebody says, hey, I think I'm going to become a follower of Jesus, angels break out in song and dance and worship. They're having a great time. They celebrate the fact that somebody has decided, hey, I'm going to be a follower of Christ. Hoorah! And we do the same kind of thing. When somebody says, hey, I'm going to be a follower of Christ, I say, you need to get in the water. Because Jesus said to, number one, but it's an ordinance, a thing that we can do, a little ceremony to commemorate that you have made a change on the inside. God made the change on the inside. You made a choice. And we do the baptism, and then I usually buy some cake so that we can celebrate because it's something worth partying over. Oh, it's sunny outside. It'll be warm soon. We may end up at the river soon to dunk some people. I've at least got one head nod and one face of caution and concern. In the river. I don't know yet. One with, you know what? He took that right out of my, I was that close to getting that out. We will do that. And when we do it, it'll be a party. It'll be a celebration. And there's another moment when, oh, you know what? Heaven gets excited about that stuff too. So I want you to think about this for a moment. Heaven, angels party when somebody says, I want to be a follower of Jesus. If it's that important to heaven, maybe it should be that important to us. That heaven isn't just something that we want for ourselves. It ought to be something that we can take as many of our friends and family as we can too. And that we need to walk around with the mindset, this matters. I need to do something so that I'm sharing this idea of heaven and what the potential is. Hey, I've got the travel brochure. I can tell you what it's like, and I can tell you how to get there. We're going to talk about that in a minute. That we can do that. We should be as excited about people turning their lives over to Christ as heaven is. Now, I can't make people change their mind. What I can do is be a witness. That's what Jesus has asked all of us to do. Be a witness. And to each other, but maybe more importantly to the folks who don't already know who Jesus is. That we can be a witness. Let me tell you about who Jesus is in my life. Let me tell you how he's changed my life now. Let me tell you what he says about the life to come. There are moments and seasons in people's life that there's a tender time for them to hear about what eternity is. When we lose loved ones, those are moments when friends and family are around and we're all wondering and asking ourselves the question, what's the future hold? We know. We know what the future holds. And in those moments, there are moments we have opportunities to share with people what the Bible has said, what God has shared with us about what happens after we die. Be mindful of that. Start carrying that around in your heart. Heaven is also a place of mystery. I would like to, you know, this is a brochure. I would love for you to take the brochure and join us all on the trip, and I'll meet everybody in heaven in 100 years, right? We'll all get together and remember today, maybe. But you know what? But we don't know everything there is. This is a travel brochure, but it doesn't tell me everything. There are things about heaven that are left to be a mystery, so that regardless of how well you study it, you're still going to be surprised. Paul, New Testament guy, is writing the second letter to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians, and he says, I know a man, but if you read the whole passage, he's talking about himself. It was a Greek culture thing to not talk about yourself in the first person when it sounded like you were bragging. Right, when you read the Gospel of John, we're going through the Gospel of John. John never uses the word I until the very end of the book. He talks about himself, but he calls himself the disciple that leaned against Jesus, the disciple that Jesus loved. But he doesn't talk about the word I. So now Paul is doing the same kind of thing, but he's talking about himself in 2 Corinthians 12. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. So Paul's not going to tell us, but he's going to let us know, hey dudes, there is some fun, cool stuff going on in heaven. Clearly, when you look at Paul's life, after he had that moment, he absolutely was sold out for the kingdom of God and sharing it with as many people in as many constructive ways as he could find. Clearly, he was moved by it, and he thought about that. Heaven is a place of mystery. Bless you. If you are a follower of Christ, you're already a citizen of heaven. Philippians 3, again, Paul wrote this. In Philippians 3:20, he says, our citizenship is in heaven. I want you to think about that. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we get eternity set with God. We receive the Holy Spirit. We receive a spiritual gift to serve in His church. And we get a passport. My passport says, heaven, Dan Housem. He's an ambassador. I'm not here on vacation. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm not here on a work visa. I am a diplomatic ambassador. I'm here to represent God. I'm here to represent what heaven's about. That transition happened when I put my faith and trust in who Jesus was. To recognize that 2,000 years ago, he lived a sinless life. Died on the cross to pay the price for my sins, to do something for myself I can't do. Cooler yet, 3 days later when he rose from the grave, which is what we celebrated last week, he demonstrated he has power and authority over sin and death. And when we put our faith and trust in him, when we accept his forgiveness and his leadership in our life, all that transformation happens. I get the ticket to heaven, I get the Holy Spirit, I get my spiritual gift, and I get my passport. I am a citizen of heaven. This is all temporary. My home is going to be in heaven. I get a lot of questions about, so when exactly does that happen? So out of this same book, 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, we are confident, I say, would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Focus. All right, sorry. I had a pastor tell me one time, Dan, you look at babies and people when they sneeze. You shouldn't do that because that's distracting. I can't not do that. I've got just enough anxiety. It drives my ADD. And when your phone goes off, I'm done. I'm there. Say that what? Yeah. I wasn't there. I was just reading the verse. It was like the first three songs in band practice this morning. I was strumming the guitar, but nothing was. I wasn't there. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5. We are confident. Let's do this again. We are confident, and I say would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. When we pass away, if you were here a week, maybe it was last week or the week before, I told the BAM story, the Emerald story about the funeral I did, right? BAM! She went right to heaven when she died. And Millie said, never do that again. So we go straight to heaven. You may have heard from other places that there are stopovers. You may have heard other words like purgatory. Like maybe we don't go straight to heaven, we go to this other spot and we hang out there for a while and then eventually we make it to heaven. When I read the Bible, it never talks about purgatory. It always emphasizes we're either here or with God. There's no in between. Everybody got that? Say, of course. So what? So what? Do we let what it is that we're learning about heaven, do we let that just go and go, oh, that was fun? Or do we think about what it means today? And do I let my vision, my idea, what God has shared with me about heaven and knowing that I'm going to be in heaven 100 years from now, I'm going to be there for eternity, shouldn't I start thinking that way now? We can start living like we're going to go to heaven today. We can start thinking that way. In Matthew 6, Jesus is talking. He says, do not store up yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And he wraps the verse up with, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Also, Jesus is pointing out we need to start thinking today about our heavenly mindset. What does that look like? It's hard, man. When we're living in this world, we're physical beings and our physical reality is tantalizing all five of our senses. And it completely distracts us. And it requires an intentional act on our part to go, wait a minute, there's heaven going on. Whatever it is that's happening today, it's temporary. Like the guy I used to work with, right? Whatever's going on today, whatever I'm excited about, I'm here, it's all going to burn up anyway. There's something eternal that's worth investing in. We need to wrestle with what our mindset is about that. How are we plugging in and invest in heaven? What does that look like? Right, so I like going down and helping with the North Valley kids downstairs, right? So North Valley kids, let's just be real. Some days, it's like, what did you do this morning, Dan? Wow, I was in the kids. We had a great time. It was fun. We talked about Jesus, did a craft, lit some stuff on fire. It was wonderful. Some days, it's like, what did you do today, Dan? I was in the kids' area. They didn't overpower me today. I survived. It went okay. We didn't call an ambulance, so it was a plus. That it's a good day when we don't have to call the ambulance. Some days, right? Do I serve in the kids' ministry because it's fun? I do not. I needed to work that out. I needed to plan that better, didn't I? I like to ask the band to come back up. I don't do it because it's fun. I do it because I'm making an investment. I'm doing it because those little kids, most of whom have not really yet officially turned their hearts over to God, I'm making an investment because eternity is a really long time. And they're making an investment. I don't care if I have fun. I don't care if it's hard. I'm making an investment. That's why I'm there. Why do we do egg hunts? Do we do egg hunts because our kids don't have enough chocolate and candy? No. We do egg hunts and to make it an outreach because it's an opportunity maybe to interact with somebody who does not know who Jesus is. It's an investment in an eternal fruit. That's why we do egg hunts. So, Tori, I normally would ask you beforehand, but I'm going to call you out in front of everybody. Tori's a relatively new teacher. She graduated with her degree, and she's been doing teaching stuff. Give her a little yay. Sarah, are you holding a bunny? Okay. That wasn't, I'm not distracted at all. I noticed it a little while ago. I just thought, literally, she was holding it up, and I thought, I'm not looking. I thought she was taking my picture with her camera. But no, she's kissing her bunny. Okay. Happy Easter. Tori is a teacher. She recently graduated. She is part of Summit Trace Church, or was. She came up with me when we left Summit Trace. One of the things we did at Summit Trace was we made investments into our relationship with Lincoln Elementary School. I was getting there. I was just swallowing. It's not like I forgot the name. We did things to make an investment with Lincoln Elementary School. Tori saw that. And she is passionate. She's excited. She's the one I get emails from. Hey, it's time to do the Ed Chew Bless Your Bags. Hey, it's time to do the Cookies of Christmas. Hey, it's time to do some gift bags. Reverse trunk or treat. Where we do things for that. She is passionate about that. Is she doing it because it's fun and she doesn't have anything else to do with her time and she likes spending church money? This is, maybe, but also she's making an investment. She is making an investment in that relationship with the opportunity that some of the staff might go, oh, church, nice. They do good things for us. Maybe we get an opportunity one day to interact with kids and they realize, hey, these are folks from a church and they're not bad folks. They care about what we're doing. What is it that we're doing to invest in the kingdom? I've read somewhere in the past where if you want to see what's important to somebody, look at their calendar and look at their bank account. Right? Where are we spending our time? Are we regularly making investments with our time to be able to extend the kingdom of God, to invest in heavenly treasures? How are we doing with our bank account? Right, I will speak for Millie and myself. When Millie and I get paid, we give more than 10% back to North Valley Church. I'm not doing it under an obligation. I'm not doing it because I hope some of it comes back, and if I give enough, they'll give me a pay raise. No, I'm doing it because I'm investing in eternal stuff. I am investing in heaven. That's where Millie and I are putting our investment and trust in. That's where I want us to store up the treasure of our time, of our money, of our resources. As you think about where you're going to spend eternity, I want you to wrestle with, what am I doing about that today? Am I investing into the heavenly kingdom so that other people can see that? Am I investing in this heavenly kingdom so that when I get there, I mean, the Bible talks about sometimes when people go to heaven, it's like somebody barely making it through a fire. They made it, but just barely. And Paul talks about receiving crowns of rewards when he gets to heaven. I've always joked, man, I am going to have a very upgraded bathroom when I get to heaven. That's really what I'm working for. All right, maybe tile floor. Who knows? Where are you making your investment? Take today as we worship with two more songs. I'm going to invite the band up. Take some time today and think about where you're making investments. Is heaven part of, if somebody were to look at your calendar, if they were to look at your checkbook, would they go, oh, heaven's important to this person? I want to challenge us with that today. Because there's, I speak for a living. Eternity is a very long time. Think about the interest rate that we receive when we make an investment today, right? I put $1,000 in the bank, this interest rate, and it compounds annually. But at some point, I either take the money out or I pass away, and it's done growing. When I invest in heaven, it compounds for eternity. That is where we should be having our focus. I hope that you are able to walk away with that mindset today. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to go to heaven. If it wasn't for your son, we would be out of luck. But we get the opportunity to do that. Being this side of Jesus' death and resurrection, we get to celebrate that. And you've given us some glimpses of what heaven might be like in the future. Man, it'll be fun, it'll be great, but there's also work to be done. There's work happening in heaven right now on our behalf. Lord, help us take all that seriously. Lord, help us take it serious enough that it influences how we live today, the choices that we make today. Lord, help us to be able to know that I can make investments in heavenly treasures and not just earthly ones. Lord, help me get the mindset that I can bring as many of my friends and family along as I can, and I can share my faith boldly with somebody. Lord, I pray that you would move in our hearts and inspire us to what it is you want us to move the direction of our life towards today. In Jesus' name, amen.